This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Well, the trade deadline has come and gone. The Capitals were, active. Maybe not at the...
They're pretty busy. Not as busy as I'd like them to be.
Yeah, maybe not at the deadline, but they made a couple moves. We saw some guys leave town. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it's official. We have two new players here on the Washington Capitals, Carl Hagelin and Nick Jensen. He is from the Detroit Red Wings, but joining me as always, almost said Detroit Lions, but joining me as always, Coach Dan. He's still here. We didn't trade him away. What's going on, man?
Well, thanks. You think the Lions might have a guy that we could play with some faceoffs?
You know, no, probably not. I mean, it is the Lions.
Yeah, it's the Lions. Never mind. You're probably right.
Yeah, but we got two new guys here. One guy we talked about a lot last week. All signs pointed to Hagelin coming to town. We've seen him in a couple games. Very, very small sample size here. But what have you thought about Hagelin in a Caps jersey so far?
I like what I've seen. He brings some speed. He went out there immediately in his first game on the PK, which is where this team needs help. I just wish that he was played center so he could win some faceoffs, because that's what this team is really struggling with. And I hope that not getting a center that can win faceoffs at the deadline isn't going to come back to bite this team. But in regards to Hagelin, I like what I've seen from him so far. He's a veteran guy who he knows what his role is on the team. He's not someone that's going to come in and complain and be difficult. So I think it was a great pickup and didn't have to give up a lot for him.
No, like that was the really surprising thing, is that there was a lot of stuff going on last week with Devontae Smith-Pelly being waived, and there was talk that Yaskin was waived. Turns out it was just DSP, and Yaskin, even though he missed practice, all signs to him going to LA, but he's still a Capital right now. So
it's like they changed their mind at the last minute. They're like, no, never mind. We'll put Smith-Pelly on waivers. But the fact that they only had to give up a 2019 third round pick and a conditional 2026 round pick, that's a good pickup. I mean, now this is a team that needs to go and sort of rebuild their draft, their forward prospects. But I think they didn't necessarily put themselves in a bad position, and they do still have the opportunity to do that and bring in a guy like Carl Hagelin. So I definitely like this move. I think it was a great move for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, the dude's got some wheels. I've definitely been impressed with his speed. Definitely think that has been lacking in the bottom six a little bit. So I like what I've seen so far. He's still got to get acclimated to the team and the playing style. But he was an East Coaster for a long time. I don't think the West Coast did him any favors. So
yeah, the Caps, well, I think that was more the system than the weather.
Yeah.
Well, but the Caps played him in something like six of the last 7 years that he was in the playoffs was against the Capitals, both as with the Rangers and with the Penguins.
And what do you think he's going to spend a lot of time in the bottom six? Is this going to be his role? Is he a fourth, third line guy, or is there potential of him moving up?
I think he's a bottom six player that can fill in on the second line if need be. And I think that's what, was it Reardon or McClellan who was saying that? Or maybe both of them. They were talking about how he could, he's a bottom six guy, but he definitely could be playing on the second line if need be to fill in, or even in the middle of a game, he could jump in on one of those lines to add a little speed if they need something along there. So I definitely think it was a great pickup, and you know, they have him, I guess you could say, penciled in, but it's like a really nice pencil onto the third and fourth line, but then he can definitely he can go and fill in on the second line or even the first line for a few shifts if need be.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do with him. I like what I've seen so far. I definitely think going on a run towards the stretch of the end of the season, he's going to be a guy that you're happy that they picked up. But unfortunately, to make room for him, Devontae Smith-Pelly was put on waivers. And yes, this is the nature of the business, but man, you got to feel for this guy, because yes, he was waived. Yes, he's a hockey player, but he was waived in his hometown, with his dad watching in the stands. And
yeah, when I read that, I was like, that kind of hurts.
That really hurts. And they were also doing that ring ceremony at the Hockey Hall of Fame that we were talking about last week. He was supposed to be a big part of that, and then he couldn't be because technically he wasn't a part of the team anymore. It really sucks for him, but this may not be the end of his Capital career. Surprisingly, he passed through waivers, and he is with the Hershey Bears right now, so there is potential if he finds his game, and that's definitely what the coach and GM were talking about with Devontae, is that he kind of lost his game, didn't have a good training camp, kind of disappeared after October. But there's potential of him maybe making his way back up to the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that when the rosters can expand and the salary cap is no longer an issue, that the team decides to bring him back up. And unless he's like doing great in Hershey and they kind of ask to hang on to him, I have to imagine they're going to bring him back up, because as we saw last year in the playoffs, his regular season may not be great, but the man knows how to play in the playoffs.
Yes.
So I wouldn't at all be surprised if they bring him back.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do with him. I'm happy he's still in the system. It's got to suck going from, private jets to school buses type of travel. But, it's the nature of the beast. It's been a very emotional trade deadline. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video.
I feel like they always are.
Yeah, I mean, these are human beings. They are being uprooted. A lot of their families are being uprooted as well. I mean, It's the bad thing about being a pro athlete, but I do feel for him. But hopefully he finds his game in Hershey. Hopefully everything goes okay, and we'll see him in a couple months. So we'll hopefully see DSP down the line. But let's talk about the other guy that the Capitals got, Nick Jensen. Biggest thing with this is they traded away Madison Bowie to the Detroit Red Wings and a couple draft picks, but they immediately signed him to like a 4-year deal. That shocked me.
Same as the Michael Kempney deal.
Yeah, without ever seeing the guy in, the red Capitals jersey. Were you shocked at the trade and then the immediate signing to a 4-year deal?
I wouldn't say that I was shocked at the trade. I was definitely surprised by the 4-year deal. But then I looked at it and looked at how Jensen has played with the Red Wings. I looked online at what a lot of people were saying about him. I look at the deal overall and bringing in Jensen and a 2019 fifth round pick. They sent out Bowie, who I just don't think the team was sold on. And based on how he's been playing in the NHL in his career so far, I don't see him as anything potentially more than a third pairing defenseman. And I'll be happy to, eat some crow on that one. If he ends up playing better, that'd be great for him. But right now he's just not showing that. And they gave up a second round pick, but it's in 2020. So you're not down your second and third round picks in this upcoming draft. You still have your second round pick in 2019. The trade, again, wasn't a surprise. The deal was a bit of a surprise, but you look at it, it's 4 years. It's like $2.5 million as the cap hit. That's not that bad. Let me bring up cap friendly right now and look at what we're going into for next season. Because the one thing that is a question mark is, okay, so you're looking at this. You sign him, so it's not just about this season. It's about next season as well. You've got Carlson under contract. You've got Niskanen under – Carlson's at $8 million of a cap hit. Niskanen's 5.75 for another 2 seasons. Orlov you have for another 4 at 5.1. You've got Kempney at 2.5. That's arguably your top 4 defensemen, right? So sure. Then you've got Jensen. The only concern right now is bringing in Jensen. Odds are Orpik retires or doesn't come back next year. There's no – at this point, as nice as it is to have him, you move him on. Christian Juice is, he's back from his injury and he's going to start playing more.
Maybe now with Jensen there, you might not see Juice as much.
That's true. But then we also, it seemed like the team really liked Jonas Siegenthaler.
Yeah.
And so going into next season, if you have Carlson, Niskanen, Orlov, and Kempney, and now you have Jensen on a 4-year deal at $2.5 million a year, you've only got one spot left for Juice and Siegenthaler to be playing every night. And maybe you rotate between those two. And then you have a question of, does that stunt their growth? Or do they go into the offseason and be like, well, maybe Jensen's playing or, maybe Juice or Siegenthaler is ready to move into the top four. And do you move out someone like Niskanen and Orlov or Kempney? I don't see this team moving out Niskanen. I think he might be the easiest to move because he's only got 2 years left on his deal. But Kempney's relatively cheap. Orlov's overpriced, but he's the youngest of the four. So it's tough to say exactly
what they're gonna do. I agree, overpriced.
I know. I think Jensen was more of a look at like his, you know, he's a defensive-minded defenseman. He has some offense, but he's definitely not known for it. He's known for being a defensive defenseman. I think they wanted to bring someone in for the third pairing knowing for the future, knowing that Orpik was likely going to be retiring or just not on the team anymore. So I have no problem with this pickup, but I am a little concerned in regards to how this is going to affect the team's young guys like Ajuice and Jonas Sengenthaler going forward.
I like the trade. I really do. The signing, like you said, it's a sign that they have some faith in him for the future, which I think is really good. I do want to see more out of him. Again, it's a very small sample size with him, but I like what I've seen so far with him. Holpe's kind of, and Copley have both been left out to dry a lot. They've bailed out their teams a lot this year, so it's good to see a defenseman like Jensen come in and kind of give a little bit more support. I think he's a guy that is probably going to get a lot of PK time. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in the future. But I like this signing. Madison Bowie, as much as you don't want to see the kid go, it didn't seem like it was in the cards with him. He was getting benched constantly this season. I think he got sent down to Hershey last year at the end of the season. But you hate to see somebody that the Caps drafted kind of leave town, because I think you and I we've been doing the show for 7 years. So we saw this kid get drafted. We saw him kind of develop. Wasn't he with like the Winter Hawks before he became a Hershey Bear? Became the Hershey Bear. We kind of saw him do a couple things down there.
Wasn't he smoking weed at one point?
He did that on Instagram, deleted that quickly.
I can imagine.
But, you know, it sucks to see homegrown talent leave, because you invested a lot of time and money into them. But if they're not working out, they're not working out. So Madison Bowie, we'll miss him here in town, but, you know, we're not going to miss him too much. But it's kind of funny, he's wearing number 74 now for Detroit, and he actually said that was because of John Carlson being one of his mentors. So he's leaving town, but I guess he's taking a little bit of a souvenir with him.
Well, either he is or souvenir. That's an interesting way to put it. It's nice to see it. I guess Carlson at his age now of, what is Carlson, 29? He does have the opportunity to mentor some guys. And I'm
29,
sure
what an old guy.
I know, he's freaking 5 years younger than me. But, you know, he's one of those guys that, Bowie that is, that was a young guy that wasn't really showing enough promise. And I think when Sengenthaler came up and really showed that he could, you know, play in the NHL, that the team was like, well, we have some decisions to make. I think this is what teams do when they want to make, you know, runs in the playoffs and go after a cup. That you constantly are replacing some of your role players with younger guys, and then those young guys eventually get better and better, and then you might look to move them out to bring someone else in. And when you have a number of prospects, you can move one of them out to be able to bring in someone that you feel like can really help your team right now, and that was Nick Jensen. And so the team was like, you know what? We can do without Madison Bowie. It's not a shot at him. It's just the reality of the situation. And we're going to make this team better in the long run by bringing in Jensen and still having a guy like Christian Juice and Sengenthaler. And then you've got Alexiev coming along in probably the next year or two. And you have Lucas Johansson, who's probably going to make a push to play on the NHL next season. And you've got a bunch of other young guys that could be playing Tyler Lewington that are going to be like, hey, I want to play in the NHL soon. Give me a shot. So I think losing Bowie, even if he turns out to be a stud in Detroit, is not going to be something that the Caps or their fans can look back on and be like, oh, we could have had him. Like, this is not a Philip Forsberg situation.
No, I don't think so either. What do you think of the Caps? How do you think they did? What if you gave them a grade for their trade, their acquisitions, their giveaways? What would you grade their trade deadline?
I would probably, I guess, give them. So, like, when you started saying it, I was like a B-. But I think I'll go with a solid B. And I feel like the only thing that would have gotten them to an A is if they were able to go out and acquire a center that can win them some freaking faceoffs. Like, they needed to go out and acquire themselves a Jay Beagle without acquiring Jay Beagle. They need someone that is both productive to some extent, but that also can win you a faceoff, especially a defensive zone faceoff, when you really need it. And they don't have anyone on that roster right now that can do that. But I wasn't necessarily a fan of going out and just finding a guy who can just win faceoffs, because I think that's a waste of a roster spot. But going down the middle of the team right now, at least in the forwards, you're looking at it and you're not like, well, which one of these guys is really going to be able to win us a faceoff should we need it in the playoffs? We're up one late in the game. The faceoff's right in front of Holtby. We need someone to win this faceoff and so we can control the play. Who's the guy that you're going to put out there? Eller? Backstrom? I mean, the stats are okay, but they're not great. I feel like I saw this last week. They're one of the worst teams in terms of their faceoff percentage in the NHL, and that is a huge problem.
Yeah, and that's the hole that Jay Beagle left, you know, at least on the ice. So
Dow's at 50, a little over 51%. Maybe he's the guy that's winning you that faceoff. Eller's at 49. He's under 50. Backstrom's 49. Kuznetsov's 38. That's nowhere near good enough.
No, but I think Dowd is the reason why they didn't go after a center at all. I think Nick Dowd is their fourth line center going forward. I think they've been impressed with him. I think that they have a lot of faith in him. And I think that's why they kind of went after Hagelin instead of a center. I think between Dowd and Boyd, I think Dowd is their guy.
I'm trying to find, oh, there it is. I was trying to find their face-off percentages for teams and I couldn't find it. Okay, so get this. Do you know which team is number one in the NHL in face-off percentage? Because it's not the Washington Capitals. They're 31st.
Vancouver?
They are. No, it's Philadelphia.
Oh.
Capitals are the worst team in the entirety of the National Hockey League in face-off percentage at 45.9%. That clearly is being dragged down by Kuznetsov's. Where did it go? Hang on, I lost. There it is. 38.67%. Clearly that's being dragged down by that. But even then, without Kuznetsov, it's still not good enough. Let's see. Yeah, still at that point, they're probably about middle of the pack, which is still nowhere near good enough. So right now, the center spot is a bit of a concern, and I would not at all be surprised if, I mean, I'm not going to move Kuznetsov just because he can't win faceoffs, but
no,
I imagine
that's Kuzi's here for a long haul.
I imagine the faceoff thing might be a bit of his you know, when you, I just finished reading this book, the story of Danny Carpathian, who played for Arsenal. He ended up hurting his knee basically just wasn't going to work anymore, and he had to retire at like 22. He's a scout for the club now. But anyways, he was talking about a lot of behind the scenes things, and like they get these like workout regimens and like off season plans from the organizations. I have to imagine hockey and the Caps do this as well. And I have to imagine Kuznetsov at the top, like underlined and highlighted and like written in bold, is going to be learn how to win a faceoff. That's got to be Kuznetsov's like big off season plan, is to learn how to win faceoffs, because right now he's freaking terrible at it.
Not good. No, not good at all.
No, it's really bad.
It's, I mean, he is a center, so it is one of the things you hope he would do well with. So it's,
you know, who's good at winning faceoffs?
Who's that?
Though it doesn't tell me how many he's taken. Currently leading the team is Tom Wilson.
Willie, baby, really?
58.54. Now he may have only taken, you know, because the guy gets kicked out, so he goes in. If you know, because Kuznetsov gets kicked off for Backstrom, whatever. But it may just be like, say he's won, like, I don't know. This is not going to be good math. 7 out of 15 or something. That doesn't even make sense. That'd be under 50%. 7 out of 13. Yeah. Right? Like, the stats are not really fair. But if you're looking just at the centers, Vrana's at 50%. But he could have just won, like, 1 of 2. Right. You know, Dowd, Eller, Backstrom, and then Kuznetsov. Boyd's under Kuznetsov. But Boyd, I feel like, has been playing all over the place. So I don't really count him as one of the centers that you want to be out there in a playoff game. Like, it's going to be those four. And I think outside of Dowd, those four are not good enough. Or not their faceoff is not good enough.
I agree with you there. I definitely not good enough. Something they still have to work on. They have a little over 2 months left. Actually, no, a month and a half, maybe, if that, left to figure this out before the playoffs happen. So
I don't think there's something to be like, oh, that's how you win a face-off.
Oh, yeah.
Far bad. Like, no, this is something that's going to be a problem. And with the way they've been playing lately, you're going in and be like, I don't know if you're going to be able to come out and, you know, score that many goals after you give up two in the beginning of the period.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the games that happened since we talked last. And the Capitals did all right, I would have to say, since we talked last. The last two games, though, were very interesting because they came out very sluggish. They looked pretty poor against the Rangers in Ottawa. And then in the second...
Well, I gave them a little bit of a break against the Rangers because...
It was back to back.
No, not even that. I mean, okay, fine. But even that's kind of crap at this point. But my... It's more coming out slowly against the Rangers. It's not only that's back to back, but it's your first home game.
Sure.
After being on your longest road trip since like 1843 or something along those lines, it sounded like, right? So they had the longest road trip they've had in forever, which took them to Columbus, then all the freaking way over to San Jose, Anaheim, LA. Then you go to Toronto. So talk about that. That's got to mess with your body some way, going from like, I have to imagine 70, 80 degrees to like two.
Canada.
And then, yeah, going from 70, 80 degrees to Canada. And then you're going to Buffalo, which is probably even freaking colder because of the, what's it called, Lake Front Effect. My dad would be mad at me for not knowing this. But anyways, and then, because he's from there. And then, you know, you come home, and you at that point, you're probably just like, I'm just so glad to be home. And then, damn it, I have to go play another game. Like, you couldn't have one day off for them to get reacquainted.
It was 12:30 in the afternoon as well. Ovi had his ceremonial spaghetti at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was pretty funny. So, I think the Ranger game, it was great that they were able to come out and get the win in the overtime. I love beating the Rangers. For whatever reason, they might be the team, them and the Flyers, that actually, more than the Penguins, I think, that I just dislike the most.
It's always good to beat the Penguins, though.
And for some reason, the Hurricanes and Tampa.
You just like beating everyone.
No, yes, I want to beat everyone, but there's certain teams that, like, when they win against them, I like it more. It's the Rangers, the Flyers, Carolina to some extent, and Tampa.
It's funny you would bring up Carolina because this is the time of year where I start looking at who the potential playoff opponents might be. And even though we are very far away from the playoffs and anything can change, right now the Caps are paired up against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. I was like, well, no, they're not. They're in the wild. Oh, right. The Caps aren't in first. Yeah, that would be a good series. Carolina's, they're coming on strong. So
to the beginning of the season, we were talking about predictions, and I said that the Carolina Hurricanes would make it to the playoffs. I said that.
My two predictions were Buffalo and Vancouver. Vancouver is 5 points out. Buffalo, where are you? Are 8 points out. So I might be wrong in mine. But they're both better than they were last season. Buffalo is currently a point behind the Flyers and 7 points behind Columbus. Vancouver is – that's the wrong stat. Vancouver is 3 points.
Vancouver is not dead last, which is nice.
No, that would be LA at the moment, who the Caps lost to. That would be an interesting series. I don't like the Hurricanes, the Lightning, Flyers, and the Rangers. For whatever reason, I just don't like them. I don't know why. Like more than even more than the Penguins. I hate the Penguins in the playoffs. When the regular season, I'm like, meh, it's a game against Pittsburgh. You know, like games against
you
like
don't buy
New Jersey,
into the hype.
Columbus. I just don't like Columbus right now because of Tortorella. But the Islanders, like, I don't care. It's not as big. Like, it'd be great to beat them, but I'm not like, oh, I hate you guys. But for whatever reason, I can't stand them. Boston, I don't mind. I hate their play-by-play guy, though. For TV, he's such a douche.
Yeah.
That guy sucks. Anyways, so face-off percentage has got to get significantly better. But then you look at, some of the guys starting to step up a little bit. You look at Andrei Burakovsky, who's been playing better.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit about him. He was a guy everybody said was going to be traded away. We said it multiple times throughout the year, and yet here he stands, still a part of the Capitals. Were you surprised that they kind of held on to him and said, yeah, we still got a little bit of faith in you, buddy?
If you asked me this question 2 weeks ago, I'd say yes, but I believe it was about a week ago, Isabel Khachanov had tweeted out that the team was less likely to want to move him. I believe it was her, Samantha Pell. They tweeted out, one of them had tweeted out that they were less likely to move him now. He's got 3 points in his last three games, a goal and two assists, and he's got 4 points in his last five games. So it seems like he's starting to step it up a bit. You know, it looks like February, he's gone 4 games without a point, but he, you know, maybe after early February, he's been playing better. He's been stepping up a bit. So you hope that he can start to produce more and more as he's getting, he looks like he's getting more shifts against Anaheim. He had 19, 14 against LA, 17 against Toronto, 15 against Buffalo. So he's getting better. And this is the perfect time of year for him to start playing better and better.
I mean, he did a fantastic job against Tampa Bay in the playoffs last year. So, I mean, if this is the time of year he wants to turn it on, then go for it, Barracuda. Do your thing. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that a guy can fluctuate that much, but here he is, and he's doing all right. So, anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Yeah, Oshie, what has he got? 20 goals again for like the – God, I can't remember the stat now because it's so late. It was like fifth time he's gotten 20 goals. So, Oshie, I felt like he should get more goals than that, but he still produces, so I'm not overly concerned. I mean, right now on the team, he is one, two, three, four, fifth on the team in points. He's got 40 points. Why is this website fighting me right now? Go back over so I can see how many goals he actually has. Stupid website. All right, it's not working. Anyways, he's got 40 points, and I can't see how many games because the thing won't go over. But he gets hurt all the time, which is kind of a concern. But he kind of plays like he just kind of throws his body around. Now, he doesn't obviously do that, but he's not afraid to get hit, and he's not the biggest guy out there. At least he doesn't seem like he's the biggest guy out there. He's only 5'11", which I know is like tall for me because I'm 5'8", but he's not tall in the world of sports. So the fact that he's still out there is getting 40 points. Carlson's got 57 points. That's ridiculous.
Nice.
He's not 58. Ovechkin's leading the team with 74 points. Backstrom's at 60. Kuznetsov's at 58. Connolly, 35 points. Not bad. I can't get this website to do what I want, so I can't see.
I think when we did our live-to-tape show a couple weeks ago, I was kind of complaining about Brett Connolly. And I got to say, I did a little bit of research, looked into his numbers, and I was wrong to complain about Brett Connolly.
Yeah, the guy has been doing, shut up.
Yeah, the guy's been absolutely fantastic this season. I don't know what I was talking about. So, Brett Connolly.
5 points in the last five games. He had a goal and assist against Ottawa, an assist against the Rangers. Goal against Toronto, goal against LA.
Have you seen the tattoo the guy got of Brett Connolly getting a tattoo?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That's pretty amazing.
That was an interesting choice. I'll put it that way. But yeah, no, it's been an interesting week. I think Friday's game is going to be huge. I think this is a great opportunity for them to take back the division, and then you really need to go on a run because the Islanders, I don't think, are going to be slowing down anytime soon. They got that the Barry Trotz momentum going for them.
I think that's the biggest, and no shocker here, but that's the biggest thing that is different from last year is that you can feel the effect of Barry Trotz not being behind the bench. The players, while a lot of them are the same, this is the same team. Some people did leave. But, you know, it's a different coach, it's a different mindset, and while Barry Trotz was on the hot seat this time last year, you know, this team, I don't know if they've bought into Reardon's system yet.
I don't think it's so much because I don't think the system has changed too much, but I think it's more when you're a veteran coach and someone who's proven a lot and given at this point last season he hadn't won the cup. But you've proven a lot in terms of your ability to manage a team and work with players. When you make a comment or a speech or you try and get the guys to play a certain way, it goes further than someone who doesn't have that credibility. And while Reardon has worked with this team as an assistant coach for a long time, he is still a rookie head coach. And he's put into a different situation now where he has to lead the team. And I'm sure to some extent, and the guys, you know, I have to imagine the guys respect him. I mean, they've already been working with him for a number of years.
Sure.
When he goes in to make those speeches or call out guys if they're not playing as well, you know, are they listening in the same way they would listen to Trotz? And based on the way we've seen this team play from time to time, I think the question is no. Or not the question. The answer is no. They're not – I don't think they respond to him in the same way they responded to Trotz.
I agree with that. We'll see down the road what happens with Todd Reirden. I mean, there's already you brought it up that he might be on the hot seat. I don't think he's on the hot seat yet. There have been some people.
I thought he was before. I don't think he's anymore.
There were people on Twitter comparing his stint as coach to Adam Oates, which I also think is a little it's a little premature. But
no, that's silly.
Yeah, but give the guy a little bit of time. Let him figure out how to be a head coach. This is his first time doing it. But you can definitely tell that the Barry Trotz fingerprints are still on this team. But you know, they might not be as prominent as they once were. So we'll see what happens in the next month or so before the playoffs about how this team really gets together. So what else? Anything else in Caps world? Are we good?
I think that's it right now.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But before we go Down on the Farm, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Rockford. But the win streak came to an end, unfortunately. Ooh. Yeah, against Bridgeport. Now, the Bears are currently third in the Atlantic Division with a record of 31-21-3, which puts them at 65 points. 8 back of second place Bridgeport. Now, they're playing as we speak against Hartford, followed up with a game in, I never know how to say this word properly, Utica?
Utica.
But why does it sound weird when I say it?
I don't know.
I don't know. But they're playing in Utica on Friday, then back at home at the Giant Center on Saturday against Bridgeport. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays didn't put that bad week behind them as they went 0-3, dropping to fourth in the South Division with a record of 25-25-5, which gives them 55 points. They'll try and turn things around on Thursday in Greenville, followed up with a game in Jacksonville on Friday. Then they come home to the North Charleston Coliseum against those same Jacksonville Icemen. A team in Florida with the name of Icemen. That doesn't make any sense. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Anything from tonight's game about Devontae Smith-Pelly playing?
I haven't seen anything, but I also haven't looked for it.
All right.
So I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, it's interesting. I've seen pictures of him in the chocolate and white. So, you know, he's playing. So good for him.
It's a nice jersey, man. It's like he's wearing one of them goofy jerseys.
He did get to wear one of the Stadium Series jerseys, so that's really good for him. At least he got to enjoy that last year.
See, that I feel like he would never want anyone to see.
I don't know if anyone else did, but I watched a little bit of the Hershey Bears game that was this past Friday on Facebook. The AHL apparently picks a game of the week and streams it live on Facebook. So I got to tune in to watch a little bit of the Bears-Penguins game. That was actually kind of cool. I'm glad that they did that. Hopefully they'll do that a little bit more in the postseason.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, down. I think so too. So that's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we are. We're going around the NHL. The trade deadline is over. And surprisingly, they made the King of New York cry. Can you believe that? So, Coach Dan, tell us, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, before we get into the trade deadline and how it really was kind of boring, let's start in Edmonton, where Connor McDavid was suspended 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Islanders defenseman Nick Leddy. And then Winnipeg defenseman Ben Chariot was, or Chariot, if you want to make it sound more fun, was to find $3,763 and those 44 cents, that's important, for cross-checking Arizona's Nick Cousins. Now, the trade deadline, as you talked about before, I felt like it's happened the last couple of years where everyone gets traded beforehand.
Right.
Here's a couple of the big deals that's happened since we talked last, including those that happened on Monday as a part of the trade deadline. We'd already talked about Carl Hagelin going from L.A. to Washington. Matt Duchene, who got moved, was it last year or the year before, to Ottawa? He was on the move again as he got sent to Columbus. Columbus acquired half the NHL. I guess they figure the best way to win is if no one else has any players. Columbus acquired Matt Duchene and defenseman Julius Bergman from Ottawa for forward Vitaly Abramov, forward Jonathan Davidson with two S's, never seen it spelled that way before, a 2019 first-round pick, and a conditional 2020 first-round pick. Caps also, we talked about before, acquired Nick Jensen and a fifth-round pick for Bowie and a second-round pick. Those picks, Caps get one in 2019, Red Wings in 2020. Dallas picked up Ben Lovejoy, who's best known as having that huge face after he got hit with the puck and the Caps played the Penguins and they had the 24-7. Everybody loves to bring that up. Dallas acquired Ben Lovejoy from New Jersey for former Capital defenseman Connor Carrick and a 2019 third-round pick. The Rangers sent forward Mats Zuccarello to Dallas for a conditional 2019 second-round pick and a conditional 2020 third-round pick. Was that the one that made Lundqvist cry?
I think that was the one that made Lundqvist cry, yeah. That was.
I wonder towards the end of his career, is he going to ask, if the Rangers still suck, is he going to ask for a trade?
I was thinking about that because Lundqvist has been with that team forever, but as his career comes to a close, he's going to want a cup. He's going to want a chance to win a Stanley Cup.
He's going to want one last run, but which team right now? Let's look at these standings real quick before we get back into that. Who needs a goalie that would be willing to? Carolina? No, I want them to win. The Islanders? Tampa doesn't need a goalie.
Man, the Islanders. Could you imagine that? Like, he'd be like, this is great. I don't even pack up my stuff.
No, I don't know about that, dude. Your traffic's not so great. Boston doesn't need a goalie. Toronto doesn't. Maybe. I don't think so. No, they suck. Pittsburgh probably would.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Matt Murray's not really panning out.
I don't know. If they had like a real good shot and Murray was the problem, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily. Winnipeg, maybe.
I mean, this is never going to happen, but could you imagine Lundqvist Holtby as the tandem in Washington? Holy cow.
I don't think Lundqvist would do it. Yeah, I have to imagine he's got no trade clause. But I don't know if he would do it because he doesn't want to be the backup. So and the whole thing, you know what? I hope he enjoys rain because I wonder if he's going to Seattle.
Ooh, interesting.
That would be interesting. Okay, anyways.
He might like coffee and some, you know, grunge music.
Maybe he does. All right, back to the trades. Ottawa sent forward Ryan Dzingel to Columbus. He's got a funny name. To Columbus for forward Anthony Duclair, a 2020 second round pick, and a 2021 second round pick. Was Ottawa like, you could have our future crappy picks. Like, we're going to be good then, so it's not going to matter. No, you're not. You're not going to be good. Buffalo sent defenseman Brendan Guthrie and a conditional 2019 first-round pick for Brandon Montour, which TSN for some reason has not listed if he's a forward or a defenseman. That's interesting.
He's both.
Apparently, but I thought it was funny that a Brendan got traded for a Brandon. I don't think I've seen that before.
I saw it, I was like, an A for me.
That's fun. San Jose acquired Gustav Nyquist from. I thought there was a V in there. I was about to be like Nyquist. Gustav Nyquist. He sounds like a Bond villain, doesn't he?
Nyquist. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a great Bond villain name. Anyways, they got him from Detroit for a 2019 second round pick and a conditional 2020 third round pick. What else we got going on? Devils sent goalie Keith Kincaid to Columbus. Seriously, they acquired everybody for a 2022 fifth round pick. The Rangers sent forward Kevin Hayes to Winnipeg for forward Brendan Lemieux, a 2019 first round pick and a conditional 2022 fourth round pick. I always find it interesting in trades when you've acquired like a star prospect, a first round pick, and then like a sixth round pick. Like, how does that conversation go down? Where they're like, you know what? These two really great things are, we want one more thing. And they're like, fine, you can have this like crappy pick later on. Like, how does that get thrown in there as well?
They're like, this is great. Then we can trade that away to something else.
Yeah,
that
probably. Wants. That's what's going to happen. Excuse me. Arizona sent forward Jordan Wheel to Montreal for forward Michael Chaput. I just like his last name because it says Poot. who else got you? Oh, this one's my favorite one. Carolina sent forward Cliff Poo. They sent him to Florida for future considerations. That's not even a big trade. I just think it's funny his last name's Poo. Florida also sent forward Derek Brassard and a conditional 2026 round pick to Colorado for a 2023 round pick. Draft picks, like, people don't even care about them anymore. Oh, what do you know? Columbus acquired another player, acquiring Adam McQuaid from New York for defenseman Julius Bergman, a 2019 fourth round pick and a 2019 seventh round pick. That's just a throw in right there. What else? Minnesota sent forward Michael Granlund to Nashville for forward Kevin Fiala. Ottawa sent forward Mark Stone and forward Tobias Lindbergh to Vegas for defenseman Eric Goodbranson, forward Oscar Lindbergh. Wait a minute. Are they related? I have no idea. I'm going to look that up in a minute. And a 2020 second round pick, which actually originally belonged to Dallas. Philly sent forward Wayne Simmons to Nashville for forward Ryan Hartman and a conditional 2020 fourth round pick.
That one was a little surprising.
Simmons was going to get moved, but I didn't see him going to Nashville.
That's a good pickup by Nashville.
That is a good pickup. He's not the same Wayne Simmons he used to be, but he's still a very, very good hockey player.
Yeah.
Anaheim sent defenseman Michael Delzada, who they recently acquired from Vancouver, I believe. They sent him to St. Louis for a 2019 sixth round pick. If I'm him, I'm a little pissed. Like, can you guys stop moving me around? Can I have a home? Anyways, New Jersey sent forward Marcus Johansson to Boston for a 2019 second round pick and a 2020 fourth round pick. Isn't he a free agent after the season?
I believe so.
I don't know. Minnesota sent forward Matt Hendricks to Winnipeg for a 2027th round pick. Vancouver sent defenseman Eric Goodbranson to the Penguins for forward Tanner Pearson. Oh, what else we have going on? I'm not even trying to pronounce that guy's name.
Well, Pittsburgh did that because they got, there were a couple guys sitting out in that Stadium Series game and they lost in overtime, so they got a little worried.
They had to do something.
Yeah.
San Jose sent forward Linus Karlsson to Vancouver for forward Jonathan Dunn. I think that's a minor league trade of potential prospects. Florida sent defenseman Chris Weidman to the Penguins for forward Jean-Sebastien Dieu. And that last one's boring, so I don't care about it. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the big ones aside from Cliff Poo. That might have been my favorite one just because of his name. It's literally P-U. Poo. Sorry, dude. You got a silly name. That's all the trades, and that's what was the usual. So I don't remember the saying I usually have because I just talk too much. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
How do you think they started that trade? They're like, look, give us some poo, and they're like, whoa, what?
Yeah, huh? This is a prank call.
We're gonna need a second round pick with the poo.
That can't be his real name, right? Like, that's what they had to be like. That's a joke. Like, no, his name's Poo.
He's like, we need him on our team. It's hilarious.
We need us some Poo.
Actually, you know what they did? They texted. They texted it, and they just used a little Poo emoji. That's what they did.
We want to make a trade. What do you guys think? Oh, we're up for it. Who do you want? They send the poop emoji.
They're like, how many of these are we going to get this week?
it's an interesting time.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet me at Brando Cash. And if you want to tweet the poo emoji to Coach Dan, where can you tweet to Coach Dan at?
Don't tweet the smiling pile of poo at me. I mean, it's funny, but that's not nice. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, like when my Verizon goes out for a moment and I can't figure out how that ended up being a goal, but it still counted and I'll take it in that game against Ottawa. Let me know, because I don't know what's going on, but that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And hey, if you've enjoyed our rambling and you enjoyed the show and you want to find out more about it and when to find new shows, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post. We're going to have new shows, as well as all sorts of other fun things that pop into Brandon's head relating to the wide world of the Washington Capitals. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
All right, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Like Coach Dan said, go to our Facebook page as well as our Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Like us, follow us, do all that good stuff. And whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Only two games to talk about next week. Until we talk again. So on Friday, March 1st, the Capitals are in New York up against the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum. And you can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, March 3rd, the Capitals are in MSG up against the New York Rangers. That game is at 12:30, and you can watch that on broadcast television on NBC for all you cord cutters out there. So just those two games until we talk again. Couple of New York games. So
go to New York.
Go to New York.
That's New York. We go see DePauly.
Go see DePauly. Get a cup of coffee with DePauly.
Go see DePauly. What was his first name again?
I don't know.
I was going to try and look him up to see who he plays for. If he's still with the Penguins organization?
I have no idea.
Oh, that didn't work. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go to hockey. You know where you need to go? You want to look up hockey stuff. You go to HockeyDB. If my computer will freaking work. There we go. I'm going to throw this thing out the freaking window. I promise I'm on the first floor now, so that's not really going to do much.
I'm going to set this gently onto the pavement.
Yeah, out by the trash.
All right, well, that's it.
Thomas DePauly. He was from Italy?
Thomas?
That's kind of fun. Yep. Oh. Thomas DePauly from Caldaro, Italy.
Where does he play now?
He plays for the Wilkes-Barre/Scranton Penguins. Pick a city. You don't get both. Okay? Freaking pick one. Did he only play 29 games this season? Is he injured or is he stuck?
I don't know.
Thomas DePauly, let us know what's going on. It doesn't even look like he'd be like the guy that would have this accent. This stupid joke that we made years ago for some reason. I don't remember if it was you or me started doing the accent. We were just like, well, I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, why not? I think it was the same year that Lindsay Lohan's cousin or something tried out for the team as well.
What?
Yeah, remember that? It was Lindsay Lohan's cousin. He was a player at developmental camp.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
I don't think anything came of it.
But. We had Kurt Russell's kid was there. Him and Goldie Hawn, their kid. He's an actor now.
Oh, from that was in the Christmas Chronicle and Splitting Up Together. That guy.
What? No, wasn't Kurt Russell in the Christmas Chronicle?
Was he?
Yeah. No, his kid is on a show.
Yeah, his kid played the.
Anyway, he wanted to be a professional hockey player, and he was a goalie, and he was at training camp like once or twice with the Caps.
Yeah, his kid played the dad that was in the Christmas Chronicles.
Oh, I didn't actually watch. Is you know the one with Kurt Russell was Santa?
Yeah.
Wyatt Russell, that's his freaking name. He's an actor now. And he's in something else coming out.
We're talking about two different people then.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell. He was in the who made that movie? The World War II one that was like produced by J.J. Abrams that I haven't seen.
Oh, Overlord.
Yeah, was that good?
I didn't see it.
At one point, it was going to be another one of those.
Oh, this dude was, he was in the webisodes for Walking Dead. He was the one that actually wrote the Don't Dead Open Inside.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, he was the one that wrote that. It was like season 2 or 3 they put that out.
I feel like we've gotten off track again.
A little bit. Is he in that new AMC show, Lodge? Yeah, Lodge 49.
Yeah, he's one of the leads in that, I believe.
That's why he did Walking Dead a couple years ago. 2013 he did that. Good for him. Still working. All right, well, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment.